Hello, welcome to PMM Insight, a plastics, machinery, and manufacturing podcast. This is an episode of PMM in person, where we talk to the most interesting players in the plastics industry. I am your host, Ron Shen, editor of PMM. Our guest today is Dr. Mo Abu Ali, Digital Director for Manufacturing, Retail, and Distribution at Whipley. Mo has more than 23 years of experience in helping manufacturers understand and implement Industry 4.0. He frequently speaks and writes on Industry 4.0 and how manufacturers can embrace digital transformation and leverage technology and metrics to achieve greater efficiency on the shop floor. He is also speaking May the 6th at the NPE show in Orlando. Mo, welcome to today's podcast.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Can you start by just telling us what is Whipley?
Yes. Yeah, Whipley is an advisory firm. We were founded by Mr. Clarence Whipley over 90 years ago, 90. And we have deeply invested relationships in manufacturing and distribution. My background personally is I've been in the industry for over 25 years. And when I came into Whipley a few years back, I was pleasantly surprised with the breadth and depth of activities we have in manufacturing and distribution, especially focused on small and medium-sized businesses. So we pride ourselves in offering advisory services to over 7,500 small and medium-sized manufacturers and distributors across the nation. And really, you know, being very curious in their operation and helping them kind of marry their practices with the digital world. So I'm part of Whipley Digital, and we go to market by industry vertical, manufacturing, retail, and distribution being one of those verticals.
Great. So your topic is especially pertinent to the plastics industry, plastic processors. My experience is that the plastics processing industry in this country has been slow to adopt Industry 4.0. Do you agree?
I do agree, actually. We've recently, we're coming up, we'll be attending the MPE event. We've also attended quite a few events by MAP and other organizations. I would say small and medium-sized manufacturers and distributors, especially in the plastics industry, you know, have been facing challenges around people and process and technology. There is good news that those challenges can be overcome with new solutions out there. And at Whipley, we actually release an annual State of Manufacturing report, and we recently released the 2024 report. We actually surveyed over 300 manufacturers and distributors across 32 states, and many of them were plastics processors. And the good news is 99%, a whopping 99%, are actually prioritizing Industry 4.0 and digital investments this year, out of which over three quarters, 71%, are actually planning to raise their technology investment. So that's good news. And I think that will slowly start to enhance adoption of Industry 4.0 in plastics processors. And I think if you marry that with the fact that, you know, sensors and hardware are getting cheaper, software is getting more affordable, cloud systems and computational speeds and compute power is also getting more affordable. So there's a lot of affordability in the market today. And if you couple that with improving, you know, the people and process elements in manufacturing, I think it could lead to a significant increased adoption across plastics.
Can you describe digital transformation?
Absolutely. When I think of digital transformation, I like to use two big words. Well, they're not really big, but two key words. One is proactive, and the other one is coordinated. You know, industrial transformation or digital transformation is about taking a proactive and coordinated approach to leverage digital technologies like Industry 4.0, AI, some of the tools we're going to talk about, to create and enhance continuous improvement in industrial operations. If I can simplify that, you know, it's really about marrying and leveling up today's traditional manufacturing practices with the digital world. And when we look at manufacturers and distributors, you know, they're across the spectrum when it comes to digital maturity, right? Some are low, some are medium, some are high, scaling. So by kind of assessing, identifying, and understanding where you are on that digital maturity spectrum and creating a roadmap forward with cost-benefit consideration and technology consideration, manufacturers can really start leveling up their people, their process, their technology. And again, they can start having a proactive and coordinated approach to use tools to improve their current operation. So it's really about continuous improvement. And it's really about moving away from a reactive type of operation to a proactive type of operation and making sure that the maturity of the people and process is there to withstand this transformation.
Great. So I would say that plastics processors are pretty good at collecting data, but generally do not do a good job of using it. What do they have to do to find value in their data?
That's a great question. And I agree with you. Companies are collecting data, and you know, many of them are doing it manually. Some of them are using systems like enterprise resource planning, ERP systems to capture data. Some of them have made investments in, you know, machine monitoring, IoT, and other Industry 4.0 tools that allow you to start capturing data more frequently, more online. But I would say, if you want to find value in data, you need to start with the why. You need to start with the business case first. We're seeing a lot of manufacturers collect a lot of data for the sake of data collection, and you know, they're implementing a lot of trials, a lot of technology trials, but there isn't really a proper foundation. You know, they haven't done an assessment, they haven't done a road mapping of their journey. So there is ad hoc approaches versus what I said. You have to follow a coordinated approach to these type of implementations. So, you know, number one advice would be define your business case first. How do you measure success in using data? Do you want to improve uptime? Do you want to improve quality? Do you want to improve throughput? Do you want to improve labor efficiency? You know, do you want to improve energy usage in your plant? So there's a variety of use cases, and you have to obviously prioritize those use cases and create a phased approach to doing it. So defining the business case first is very important, and success criteria of how to use the data. Second would be moving away from, you know, reactive manual data that's being captured on paper, for example, to more proactive online real-time data capture, where machines can speak. They're giving you data. This data can be integrated with your business system, your ERP system, for example. So you can start having meaningful data, you know, contextualized data. You can, for example, start understanding what is the true job profitability in my operation. Everybody's defining standards in their business system or ERP system, but are those standards accurate? So we are seeing manufacturers leverage real-time data to improve job profitability and improve costing and improve scheduling by tracking the true labor time, true cycle time, true changeover time in the operation. A third piece of advice is, you know, taking a role-based approach in how you use data. So going away from data analysis paralysis and sending data to everybody, you need to have a more focused role-based approach. So sending the right information, the right report to the right person at the right time. You know, production is looking for something, quality is looking for something, maintenance is looking for something, senior management executives are looking for something. So by segregating the data and providing it to the right role at the right time, this helps you build that coordinated approach to digital transformation. And it supports what we call digital lean, right? So lean has always been a very manual approach, right? And, you know, usually you need better data to support your lean manufacturing operational excellence approach. So digital lean is about marrying this real-time data that's role-based to the lean process so you can conduct better Kaizen events, continuous improvement events, and value stream mapping activities. So I think there's a very, you know, if you want to create a data-driven operation, you need to marry the people, process, and technology, and you need to enforce your lean operational excellence process with real-time data and metrics, such as OEE, for example, overall equipment effectiveness, to enhance your lean manufacturing process. So to kind of summarize, because you're asking a very important question, how do you find value in the data? Number one, consider your business case first and how you measure success. Second, move away from manual paper-based data collection to proactive online real-time data collection. Third, make it role-based, based on personas and certain functions in your business, and then marry it with your lean manufacturing operational excellence process and use digital lean in your operation for continuous improvement.
That's a new digital lean is a new term for me. I like that.
Okay. Thank you.
What are the costs and what are the returns for a manufacturer?
That's a great question. Again, a lot of small and medium-sized manufacturers and distributors especially, right, they are very cost-sensitive and they think these solutions are very expensive. In fact, they are not. You do have to obviously, do a proper assessment, road mapping, and select the right solution for your business. But when I worked in automotive manufacturing 20 years ago, the cost of a vibration sensor was near $900 a sensor. Today, 20 years fast forward, it's less than $100. Imagine there's about a 10x fold reduction in sensor hardware costs, cloud costs, compute speeds. So that's great news. That's music to the ears of small and medium-sized businesses, because software is getting very affordable, sensors is getting very affordable, hardware to connect, for example, old legacy machines is becoming very affordable. These solutions are also becoming quick implementation or quick time to value for manufacturers and distributors. There's a lot of DIY approaches, do it yourself, where you could easily spin data off a cloud and you could connect the hardware to the machine very easily with limited effort, and you can start taking machine data from a sensor to the cloud to deliver reports and analytics. And we have seen this being done in less than 48 hours in some situations, connecting a machine, data flowing into the cloud in less than 48 hours. So that's all great news. And I know I've seen solutions where the annual subscription per machine per year be as low as $600 a machine a year. That's less than $2 per day per machine, okay? That in some cases includes the sensor hardware cost as well. It includes hosting it on a secure cloud where your data is secure and being benchmarked with other data sets. So, think big, right? Manufacturers need to assess their journey and the ROI of doing this. Start small. There are very affordable solutions where you can have quick time to value and quick implementations. And then prove value, right? What is the return on investment? So now the data is flowing with an affordable type of solution. Am I increasing my uptime, my throughput, my quality, my OEE, etc.? Even at Whipflee, in the spirit of supporting small and mid-sized manufacturers, we are offering complimentary trials. You could select a bunch of machines on the floor and no strings attached, implement the solution and run it for 30 days at absolutely no cost to the manufacturer, just to show the concept of affordability, quick time to value, quick implementation. And we're actually offering those trials to qualified manufacturers during the MPE event. Yeah. So again, that's on the cost side. You also ask on the return side. We are seeing folks achieve returns within 3 to 6 months. Again, the caveat here being your previous question of using the data, right? So these are tools. These are affordable tools. They're going to give you data, but we have to partner up to make sure the data is used wisely by the right people at the right time. So there is real-time reports and dashboards for the operators on the floor, all the way up to the supervisors, up to the senior management. And then when you do your daily meetings, your shift meetings, your weekly, quarterly meetings, your huddles on the plant floor, this data can be used to identify issues and then to look for countermeasures to improve for example, setup time on a machine, or to improve job profitability on a certain part number, or to enhance the standards that are maintained in your ERP system, which in turn improves your product costing and improves scheduling. So cost benefit is there, and we're definitely seeing return on investments from these pilots within 3 to 6 months for a small mid-sized manufacturer.
That's really amazing. So let's change gears just a little bit. What role does AI play?
So artificial intelligence has been around for decades. It may be a new naming for some, but 20 years ago in an automotive OEM facility where I worked, I was part of the maintenance team. We were making cars off an assembly line at a tack time of 29 seconds. Every 29 seconds, a car gets off the line. There was a lot of robots in the factory. And if one robot goes down, 1 minute of downtime was about $10,000. I'm sure that number is probably doubled by today. So, you know, data collection is great for such an application. You have to collect data, you know. But once you have a good data foundation in your company that has good data quality, the integrity of the data is there, right? This data can now be eligible, can be a great candidate for different artificial intelligence type of use cases. We are seeing, however, a lot of folks jump into the AI bandwagon without making sure that they have data fitness, data readiness for the application. And I do not advise that. I advise everyone to really assess their digital maturity and their data maturity and ensure that the data is eligible for artificial intelligence. In the case of the OEM that I was mentioning in the short story, you know, we were doing predictive maintenance. That's an example of an industrial AI use case. We were using machine learning to predict that a certain machine or a robot was going to fail before it fails, because that failure leads to 1 minute of $10,000 per minute unplanned downtime cost, which is huge for the company. So when I think about AI, I think about having a solid data foundation to get you started. And if that's a check mark for your company, we can start thinking about industrial AI use cases, such as leveraging machine learning for predictive maintenance, leveraging machine learning for predictive quality. You know, there's a lot of vision systems, for example, that are camera-based, and they're taking pictures of parts and people and machines. And they're even predicting if you're going to make a bad part, a scrap, before you make the scrap, and helping you optimize your process. So industrial AI use cases revolve around improvements in maintenance, improvements in quality, improvements in throughput. But also there is a different subset of machine learning science algorithms, which is now called generative AI or generative machine learning. Those use cases can go beyond the factory floor. They can help use data across all kinds of business functions, from sales to marketing to human resources, even customer-facing, like your CRM system, your e-commerce system. And they can help you digest data coming from all different sources, you know, text and numbers and pictures and videos. You know, they call it multimodal because it can take different modes and formats of data. And it would help you generate new use cases. Like we have seen customers, or we have helped customers use generative AI, for example, to enhance their e-commerce sales through their websites, for example, if they're doing B2C type of sales. So generative AI is becoming a very powerful also use case, especially when it comes to search and text mining and chatbots and some of those applications. So I would say AI plays a big role on the shop floor and beyond the shop floor across the, think of it as the digital thread of making your parts, you know, from design to manufacturing to service to aftermarket, and then the sales and marketing function that goes with it. It's able to digest data at all these levels and all these business functions and enhancing your internal labor efficiency to do these things, accelerating these functions, in addition to enhancing the cooperation and partnership with your customers and customers in the way they work with you and buy your products and things of that sort. But mind you, It requires good data quality. It also requires governance, and it requires security measures to be put in place. You have to regulate the way you're using AI in your factory and make sure things are confidential, make sure things are not, you know, going to train a model out in someone else's world, and then you lose intellectual property and things of that sort. So again, when we do these Industry 4.0 assessments, AI is sometimes a core part of it. And this is where we're looking at use cases and risks and vision and what is the governance and steering team and the use cases that would allow you to scale these use cases across your operation.
Well, thank you very much, Mo. That was an excellent presentation.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Our guest today has been Mo Abu-Ali, Digital Director for Manufacturing, Retail, and Distribution at Whipfli LLP. Remember that you can hear him in person May the 6th at NPE in Orlando. I hope you have enjoyed this episode of PMM in Person. Thanks to Associate Editor Marvin Brown for editing this podcast. You can always find our podcast and the latest information about the worldwide plastics industry on our website, www.plasticsmachinerymanufacturing.com, and on social media. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcasting app, and please tell a friend or colleague who would enjoy the show. This podcast is produced by Plastics Machinery and Manufacturing, an Endeavor Business Media brand.